code of silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a code of silence and it can't go on.
Hi folks, this is Alan Watt and we're cutting through the matrix on August the 19th, 2011. For newcomers, look into cuttingthroughthematrix.com, help yourself to the audios which are there for free download. The sites you'll see listed on the com site, all are the official ones, they all carry transcripts as well as the audios for print up. And if you want audios in other languages of the talks I've given, or print ups, go into alanwattsentinel.eu. Remember, too, you're the audience to bring me to you, so you can actually help me keep going by buying the books and discs I've got for sale at cuttingthroughthematrix.com. Because I don't take cuts from advertisers, and I don't bring one as guests. And you can do this, as I say, by buying the books and discs. And from the US to Canada, you can use a personal check or an international postal money order. You can also send cash, and you can also use PayPal. You'll see a donation button on the com site. Use that and follow it with an email with name, address, and order. And I'll get it out to you. And you'll find out how to do it on the com site, as I say. And across the world, you've got Western Union, MoneyGram, and PayPal once again. And remember, two straight donations are certainly welcome because it costs a lot to just struggle along here with the cost of everything, even replacing computer parts and all the rest of it, or computers. And that all has to come off the money that comes in here. Now, on this broadcast, I don't generally go into, I hate the politics of the system, so I won't talk too much about it, except, you know, it's fraudulent. That's the only part I touch. Back with more after this.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Berkey purification systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable Black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time.
Hi folks, we're back, cutting through the matrix. And as I said earlier, that I tend not to dwell so much on politics because to me it's a joke. It's a con. And I think it's always been a con, really. Understand why politics developed the way it did, because they say that you can never please all of the people, so you lie to them all. And that's what they do. And then, of course, the cliques at the top are so interwoven with private businesses, they're in and out as CEOs, and then back into politics and vice versa to serve generally the companies that they just left to go into politics for. So they stand up for them and they lobby when they're on the other side, when they're out of politics, and then they're back in politics meeting the other lobbyists. I mean, it's just an old boys club. And it's been like that really forever. I really think it's been that way forever. So it's a joke. And then they always get you to vote for the same system. And you do. Most folk vote for the same system. I think it's because we're terrified that things can get actually worse, which they always do. But we never learn from that either, that they always get worse. And people vote again for the same system to continue on in the way it's going. There's nothing transparent about government whatsoever. Never has been, and there never will be, because they cannot ever tell the public the truth. But basically, you live in an incredible class system, and everything's rigged from the beginning, and you're given the education to match your class. And you're given a sort of education, too, which does not really advocate reasoning for yourself, and you must reason through things to understand how they work and why they work this way and why you're getting this terrible education and why the boys at the top, who are no brighter than anybody else, getting into the Ivy League schools and colleges and universities and going straight into, again, daddy's business or daddy's friend's business or into politics. It is because of connections. And that's what they call democracy today. And we know, too, it's just a massive tax base to run their own corporate businesses, international businesses. That's really what it's for today. That's how it's developed, at least. And the other night, too, I talked about how the youngsters in England who were using Facebook and Twitter to encourage others to riot, how they've been severely punished for being a bit drunk and going ahead and telling them to do this. They didn't riot themselves, and which should be a lesson to everybody, by the way. And however, that was nighttime robbery. The people were looting at nighttime. And daylight robbery is done through politics and banking. And we get plundered and pillaged at least twice a century. And we're always worse off afterwards. The currency is devalued, as always. And everything was up in price, including all of your taxes again. So the bankers at the top can plunder you openly, and their pals in politics go along with them, using what they call the legal system to try and justify it. And the one thing America has never learned is to copy Britain, because Britain is the best country if you want to copy and really confuse the public, because it's, the class distinction is so obvious, including your accent, by the way. As soon as you open your mouth, you're classified into oh, okay, he's from so-and-so, he's this and that. You're immediately put into your little level where you're supposed to stay. And whenever they're caught with their hands in the cookie jar or conning the public or scamming the public for cash, they bring out the best ones at the top, the ones who talk with their mouth full of marbles. And they have hurt expressions that they'd be accused of things. And it kind of works on the public. They feel kind of ashamed of accusing this awful nice gentleman at the top for scamming the public or plundering them. But the Americans don't have that same kind of differentiation in with their accents. So they can't get away with it quite the same. Here's an article here. Now, Goldman Sachs is one of the biggest bankers on the planet. They're all over they're part of the military-industrial complex, in fact. And if you look at all the companies they own, you find it's the same shareholders that own all of the main shares in all the military-industrial corporations. The banks own them all. And Goldman Sachs has got away with murder and plunder for an awful long time. And they'll continue because they're unstoppable, because they're interwoven with the system. But you an article here to show you the cons that they get away with, and nothing will happen because of this either. Not even a slap on the wrist. Never mind getting put in prison like these guys in England for 4 years. And it says Goldman Sachs, the vice president, changed his name and now advances Goldman lobbying interests as a top staffer to Daryl Issa. Listen to the con of this, how they work this. It says, has Representative Daryl Issa turned the House Oversight Committee into a bank lobbying firm with the power to subpoena and pressure government regulators? Think Progress Group has found that a Goldman Sachs vice president changed his name, then later went to work for Issa to coordinate his efforts to thwart regulations that affect Goldman Sachs' bottom line. That's the sort of cons they do. They just change their name and jump into a lobbying firm and then speak on behalf of the firm, but it's really for Goldman Sachs. In July, Issa sent a letter to top government regulators demanding that they back off and provide more justification for new margin requirements for financial firms dealing in derivatives. A standard practice in Capitol Hill is to end a letter to a government agency with contact information for the congressional staffer responsible for working on the issue for the committee. In most cases, the contact staffer is the one who actually writes such letters. With this in mind, it's important to note that Issa's letter ended with contact information for Peter Haller, a staffer hired this year to work for Issa on the Oversight Committee. Issa's demand to regulators is exactly what banks have been wishing for. Indeed, Goldman Sachs has spent millions this year trying to slow down the implementation of the new rules. They did it in lobbying and all the rest of it. In the letter, Issa explicitly mentions the new derivative regulations might hurt brokers such as Goldman Sachs. Heller, as he is now known, went by the name of Peter Simoni until 3 years ago. Simoni adopted his mother's maiden name, Haller, in 2008, shortly after leaving Goldman Sachs as the vice president of the bank's commodity compliance group. In a few short years, Haller went from being in charge of dealing with regulators for Goldman Sachs to working for Congress in a position where he made official demands from regulators overseeing his old firm. It's not the first time Haller has worked at a revolving door to help out Goldman Sachs. You see how they work it? It's true, a revolving door. It's like spies. We want you to go out there for this company here. You're really still representing us, but you'll demand things on our behalf to Congress. According to a report by the Nonpartisan Project on Government Oversight, Haller, then known as Peter Simoni, left the Securities and Exchange Commission in 2005 to work for Goldman Sachs, then quickly began lobbying his colleagues at the SEC on behalf of his new firm. At one point, Haller was requiring to issue a letter to the SEC stating that he did not violate ethics rules, and the SEC agreed. What a club, eh? A brief timeline of Haller's work history underscores the ethical rules or issues raised with ESA's latest letter to bank regulators. After completing his law degree in 2000, Haller was employed by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission as an economist and later with the Securities and Exchange Commission in the Office of Enforcement. So even though he changed his name, all these people knew who he still was, right? In April 2005, Haller resigned from SEC to take a job with Goldman Sachs. Although he's not a registered lobbyist, he soon began lobbying the SEC on compliance issues on behalf of Goldman Sachs. In 2006, Haller left Goldman Sachs, according to Goldman, official who spoke to Think Progress. In 2008, he took a job with the law lobbying firm Brickfield, Burkitt, Ritz and Stone. In January 2011, Haller was hired to work for ESA on the Oversight Committee. Under supervision of Haller, ESA sent a letter dated July 22, 2011, to bank regulators, including the heads of the Federal Reserve, the FDIC, FCA, the CFTC, and FHFA, and Office of Comptroller, demanding documents to justify new Dodd-Frank mandated rules and margin requirements for banks dealing in the multi-trillion-dollar OTC derivatives markets like Goldman Sachs. When he took over the chairmanship of the Oversight Committee this year, ESA dramatically shifted the committee's focus away from its traditional role of investigating major corporate scandals. Indeed, ESA has used the committee to merge the responsibilities of Congress with the interests of K Street and ESA's own fortune. Anyway, it goes on and on, quite a long story, but it's well worth reading to see how these characters run the system and your politicians and your whole government. It's quite in the open. Nothing will happen because it's true, they're untouchable. And you've an incredible club at the top there where it's so corrupt. It's the same everywhere, isn't it? It's the same everywhere, so corrupt everywhere. Earlier this year, I put a link up to of the Bank of England at one point, stood up and said that he himself had personally laundered billions and billions of terrorist money through the banks. Just let them know how it works. He wasn't complaining about it. He said he was doing it on behalf of MI6 and bigger guys than that. So that's how the world really works. But at the bottom, well, you're just a tax base for all the big projects that they've got planned across the planet, which you'll never ever participate in physically. You'll just work for it, but you'll never see it yourself. And here's another one too. Wall Street firms donated $11.2 million to members of Debt Super Committee. That's the Super Congress. This 12 wise men. The bipartisan Super Committee created by the debt ceiling deal is comprised of lawmakers who receive big bucks from special interest groups. According to a report by Maplight, the committee is tasked with finding at least $1.2 trillion in deficit cuts over 10 years. In total, the 12 members appointed to the Joint Select Committee on Deficit Reduction got nearly $64.5 million from special interest groups over the past 10 years, with legal firms donating about $31.5 million and Wall Street firms donating about $11.2 million. Well, you can guarantee there'll be no comedowns on those companies that helped them out there, eh? Of that, $11.2 million Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, Bank of America, and JP Morgan Chase donated approximately $2 million combined. Then it tells you all the members, who they are, and all the rest of it. Microsoft, everybody else was in on it too. But the usual people that run your modern life. And a little, you know, a bit of laughter at times too, because everyone knows that the US Congress is heavily lobbied by Israel, and that they take members across for wining and dining in Israel. And there's a little YouTube article up there from a TV show where they talk about this. It's worth seeing to see about 20% of Congress over in Israel getting paid and funded. Of course, there's no lobbying interest or it's nothing to do with favoritism or anything like that. Back with more after this break.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Hi, folks. We're back. This is Cutting Through the Matrix. Just talking about conflict of interest. And on this video, as I said, this link I put up at cuttingthroughthematrix.com, you can actually watch it yourself, and you'll see a Jewish woman in the States talking about conflict of interest. And not everyone's happy with what's really happening. But it says Israel wines and dines Congress, 81 congressmen in Israel for a summer break. And, of course, that's how it's done at the top, because there's nothing, again, illegal about going over for a holiday. It's maybe bought and paid for. But at the top, they can do anything they want because they simply make things legal for them to do so. And in Britain, you have the same kind of thing happening, too, with the up-and-coming Nova Rich, even ones from India, who then take them back to India, people, the politicians to India for their holidays, etc. So this is, there's nothing new in this, but, of course, it's not called conflict of interest. It's not called corruption or anything like that. It's just the way that things are or business is done. That's what they would tell you. Lockheed Martin, really, they're big up there in security because that's where all the military is going and have been for many years now, into security for a world order when they run out of wars. I saw an article about 18 years ago they'd have to go into security, domestic security. And not only do Lockheed Martin do that, they also do census of different countries for the government. So they know all about everybody, this private company, this a gun runner, basically. And but they also do all the stuff, your cameras, and amongst other firms, too, and lots more to do with government. And they're into the airship of the future. I'll put a link up tonight. You'll see these high-flying air blimps that they've got, really, that have all the high-tech stuff on them, and they're showing the ones they want to come out for the next model. It's just like the Cold War. In the Cold War, we used to hear in politics, oh, they've got to get this new missile, and they give it a wonderful name. And they say the Russians have got something even better, so we've got it. So you'd buy it, you know, and of course no one asked questions because they're going to save you and all that. And then a month later or 2 months later, it was obsolete because the Russians had a better one. And they kept this race going all the time. And it was all nonsense. It was all absolute nonsense. But and then they found out it was mainly guys in the Houses of Lords in Britain who were aligned with the corporations and companies like Lockheed Martin that were making all these missiles. You know, we live with corruption all the time. We're taught not to see, we're actually taught not to see it. Understand? We're taught not to see it. That's how they've always done this at the top. They teach you to see life in a completely different, unrealistic fashion. So that's what they do. And IBM have unveiled a chip that mimics the human brain. And it says IBM has unveiled a new experimental computer chip that says mimics the human brain in that it perceives, acts, and even thinks. I'm glad something thinks in this day and age. It terms the machines built with these chips cognitive computers, claiming they're able to learn through experience, find patterns, generate ideas, and understand the outcomes. So we'll see if they become politicians of the future. And this article is pretty good, too. It says the global plutocracy is terrified of dissent. I don't know if they're terrified of it. I think they're pretty well. There's so much of a pulse of the public with the computer today. They can get instant readings on how are the public reacting to this, that, and the other. They know instantly how we're feeling. It's how we're feeling, not what we're thinking. It's how we're feeling. That's how people write to each other. It's what they feel about. In some places, the war on dissent is being fought with bullets. In others, the war on dissent targets social media and mobile communications. The most liberal part of the country, the San Francisco Bay Area, is taking a page from Egyptian dictator Mubarak's playbook. This is leading free speech organization Electronic Frontier Foundation reports. This week, the EFF has seen censorship stories move closer and closer to home. First Iran, then the UK, and now San Francisco, an early locus of the modern free speech movement. Operators of the Bay Area Rapid Transit System shut down cell phone service to four stations in downtown San Francisco yesterday in response to a planned protest. So all that stuff, remember, was in the next 40, 50 years report that came out by the Department of Defense for the Britain and NATO. And then it was an exact copy put up by the U.S. military 90 pages is the British one. But they talked about this coming time of information sharing and how it would be a threat to the establishment and all the different things it'd have to do about it, including basically blocking or jamming all signals to stop these things from happening. So that's the new democracy, you see. You can be democratic about certain things that are permitted or actually authorized or in fact pushed by government, but don't protest anything about what government's really up to. That's the new authoritarian society that the Club of Rome said they'd have to bring in the 1970s. So they have, bit by bit, been taught they're under an authoritarian system. And we are under an authoritarian system now. So it's not even used their gimmick of democracy that they keep prattling on about, because I have never seen, for any length of time, a stable definition of democracy. It's always shifting like an elastic band getting stretched. And to show you again how the corruption works, we've all heard about Monsanto characters and big pharma people leaving, again, the CEOs of corporations of pharma and the chemical industry and moving into politics, especially appointed, they get appointed into these groups like the FDA and such. And then, of course, they're basically lobbying from the inside and defending the company that they've just left. And often they'll go back into the company once they get what they want. So it's just a revolving door once again. And you wonder why you're getting poisoned. Well, it's no coincidence. It says the USDA downplays own scientists' research on ill effects of Monsanto's herbicide. It says that what would happen if a USDA scientist had discovered that one of the most commonly used pesticides on the planet, with a reputation for having saved millions of tons of U.S. soil from erosion, was, rather than a soil saver, a soil killer. That, to quote a certain paranormal expert, would be bad, and yet it's true. And it says here, I think the music coming in. Okay, back after this break.
Earthquakes, violent weather, unemployment, the economy. What are you thinking? If you're thinking preparedness, be at the next Get Prepared Expo, September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri, at the Downtown Expo Center. Learn how to grow your garden, drive down energy costs, survive inflation, prepare your home, and much more. Meet KWTO's instructors, Vincent Finelli and Mark Wright. Tickets only $9 at GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you. Earthquakes, violent weather, unemployment, the economy. Attend John Stadmiller's What's in Store for You and John Moore's Abrupt Climate Change and 35 other seminars at the next Get Prepared Expo, September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri, Downtown Expo Center. Talk with pros on surviving, preparing, defending, and thriving. Grammy winner Steve Voss will perform live. Tickets just $9 at GetPreparedExpo.com. RBN annual subscribers attend one day free. GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you. Ladies, gentlemen, Americans, meet Steve Voss.
The American dream has become a nightmare.
Steve Voss.
We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not.
To meet and see Steve Voss perform live, you need to be at Get Prepared Expo, September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri, downtown at the Expo Center, all for $9 tickets. Get yours at GetPreparedExpo.com. Don't miss Steve Voss in concert live at Get Prepared Expo, September 9th and 10th, Springfield, Missouri.
Pray God will bless some way out of this mess.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Hi folks, we're back. This is Cutting Through the Matrix, talking about USDA's downplaying its own scientists' research on ill effects of Monsanto herbicide. And this is what had happened. The USDA scientists discovered that one of the most commonly used pesticides on the planet, with a reputation for saving millions of tons of U.S. soil from erosion, was, rather than a soil savior, was a soil killer. It says this news came to the fore thanks to a recently published must-read article from Reuters on how government regulators are dropping the ball on agricultural biotechnology. It begins with the story of USDA scientist Dr. Robert Kremer. Kremer has spent the last 15 years looking at Monsanto's blockbuster broad-spectrum herbicide glyphosate, which is also called Roundup, the most commonly used pesticide in the world and companion to Monsanto's possibly monopolistic Roundup Ready lines of genetically engineered seeds. That's their deal. If you buy their seeds, which you're pretty well coerced into doing, then you get to buy all their pesticides to go with them. It's a monopoly. I think it's a monopoly, of course. Well, exact figures are closely guarded secrets thanks to the USDA's refusal to update its pesticide use database after 2007. Estimates suggest upwards of 200 million pounds of glyphosate were dumped on fields and farms in the US in 2008 alone. That's almost double the amount used in 2005. Glyphosate has a reputation as the safest of all agricultural herbicides and has become the primary means of weed control in industrial agriculture. While being the best of an extremely nasty bunch may be the faintest of praise, the USDA relies on this perception, which has been fueled by industry and government research, indicating that the chemical dissipates quickly and shows low toxicity as poisons go, that is, to humans. And we've debunked this many times over the years, it's the same kind of thing. The claim of millions of tons of soil saved relates to the soil that would have otherwise been lost to erosion without glyphosate's central role in chemical no-till farming techniques. Indeed, experts such as Dr. Michael Shannon, a program director for the USDA's Agricultural Research Service, as well as other USDA scientists, make this anti-erosion claim the core argument in favor of the widespread use of the chemical. Even so, glyphosate has been under attack from several quarters of late. Research indicates that while glyphosate on its own may be relatively safe, it is actually quite toxic in combination with the other supposedly inert ingredients in the same dose. In commercial preparations of the herbicides, that's the stuff that farmers actually spray on the fields. And of course, there's the frightening spread of superweeds that glyphosate can no longer kill. It's to the point that thousands of acres in the south have been abandoned to resistant strains of giant pigweed. And literally, it makes everything, after a while, resistant to it and other weed killers as well. And I put a link up, I think, last week on Farmer to Farmer. I might find it tonight again. We can hear farmers talking about the outcomes of using this particular stuff. Enter Dr. Kremer. His work published in the peer-reviewed Journal of European Agronomy further tarnishes glyphosate's golden status. He's found that glyphosate side effects in the ground are far more severe than previously thought. As he described it to me, the use of glyphosate causes damage to beneficial microbes in the soil, increasing the likelihood of infection of a crop by soil pathogens. Interference with nutrient uptake by the plants, reduced efficiency in symbiotic nitrogen fixation, and overall lower than expected plant productivity. Dr. Kremer has even helpfully provided a set of recommendations for farmers to use glyphosate or use Monsanto's Roundup Ready seeds. According to Dr. Kremer, the worst of the problems can be avoided if farmers only plant Roundup Ready crops every other year in the same field, come up with alternate crop residue management techniques, and plant cover crops to revitalize soil biological and ecological processes, as well as improve other aspects of soil quality. A USDA scientist wouldn't recommend measures like this if he weren't convinced his results merited it. And then it says from the Reuters article, it says that this could be something quite big. You might be setting up a huge problem, said Kremer. who expressed alarm that regulators were not paying enough attention to the potential risk from biotechnology on the farm, including his own research. And it says that science has not been considered in policy setting and deregulation, said Kremer. This research is important. We need to be vigilant. Meanwhile, the response from the USDA to Dr. Kremer's work has been, shall we say, subdued. Dr. Shannon of the USDA ARS admitted that Dr. Kremer's results are valid, but said that the dangers they represent pales in comparison to the superweed threat. In fact, Shannon specifically likened Dr. Kremer's new findings to unfortunate but unavoidable side effects like any drug might have. You see, it's all staffed by guys from Monsanto. So even their own scientists in the USDA are put down because Monsanto boys are the supervisors. It's utterly corrupt. The system is absolutely broken, isn't it? But it's always been that way. It really has always been that way. And I just want to touch on the colour revolutions, because the colour revolutions, as we well know, are sponsored. It's amazing, really, that Hillary Clinton and Bill Gates and all the ones who are into Facebook and the Twitters, etc., all meeting with the military to advocate these revolutions in Libya and other in Syria and other countries, while the same governments that they work for were putting in soldiers and mercenaries and all the rest of it to overthrow the governments and call them rebels. And the same thing's happening, too, in Thailand. I mentioned months ago about Thailand and how I was worried about it because it was a pretty peaceful country. And the people really rejected going, they didn't want to go into the World Banking System or the IMF. They managed to hold them off. And they don't go into the same central banking scam to get into massive debt. And I said, well, something's going to happen to them. And sure enough, up comes the Red Shirt Army, they call it. And it's so this Red Shirt Army is one of the color revolutions. Soros is one of the guys behind it. It says Bangkok, Thailand, it says, surely a movement run by a man working with foreign interests against his own nation would be considered sedition in every sense of the word. Well, not in some countries. And regardless of how well-intentioned followers of such a movement were, ultimately their efforts would be contributing to future entirely removed from their genuine ideals of progress and change. Progress is not only an attractive motivation for political participation, it's a responsibility for those who wish to leave future generations with something more than what they have now. However, danger arises when progress is pursued politically rather than pragmatically, where people, not solutions, are hoisted to the pinnacle of attention and efforts. This is precisely the case unfolding in Thailand, where a man, Thaksin Shinawatra, his party and his agenda have taken the driver's seat of a contrived social movement called the Red Shirts, and ultimately threatened the destiny of the very people committed to this hoax. It's interesting, too, because when Mazzini, that took over from Albert Pike for the World Revolutionary Movement of Freemasonry, he had a 1,000 Red Shirt Army. He used to hire them out across the world, and these guys called the Red Shirts. So I guess the guys that run them certainly know about their history. Thaksin Shinawatra, himself a former advisor to the globalist equity firm, the Carlyle Group, right? This is the guy who they're trying in as to run on behalf of the Western countries again. They're trying to get him in with his Red Brigade, basically. He worked for a global equity firm, the Carlyle Group. I was literally standing in front of the Council on Foreign Relations in New York City on the eve of his ousting from power in 2006. Since then, he's been represented by some of the largest lobbying firms on earth, including fellow Carlyle man James Baker and his Baker Botts law firm, International Crisis Group's Kenneth Edelman and Edelman Public Relations Firm, also a corporate sponsor of the Colour Revolution College Movements org. I didn't even know they had that, Colour Revolutions College Movements org, and Belfer Centre advisor and IISS trustee Robert Blackwell of Barber, Griffith and Rogers. Currently, Thaksin is represented by Robert Amsterdam of Amsterdam and Peroff, a major corporate member of the globalist Chatham House, that's the Royal Institute of International Affairs. Robert Amsterdam is currently defending Thaksin's Red Shirt Street Mob, as well as the imprisoned Russian oligarch Mikhail Khodorkovsky, attempting to consolidate and hand over Russia's resources to foreign bankers, most notably Jacob Rothschild, who is sitting as a board member of this Soros-style Open Russia Foundation. It's just a big gang, isn't it? It's a big gang runs the world. This land destroyer report, in an effort to provide beyond a shadow of a doubt not only Thaksin's connections to the global elite, the nature of these connections tracked down lobbying registration documents which are required by U.S. law and maintained by the U.S. Senate. The U.S. Senate lobbying disclosures database provides us with irrefutable evidence that Amsterdam and Perov, Baker Botts, Barber Griffith and Rogers, and Cobra and Kim have provided their services to Thaksin Shinawatra since 2006. So they want to get their own boy in so that they have, well, the whole world sewn up, basically. You can't have any country that's not going to join this world, the system, the globalist banking, debt system, slavery system. And so they've got to send their own boys in under color revolutions. And they use the same techniques as they were using in Britain that they jailed those two guys for. But it's okay when governments are behind doing it and their fronts as well. It's okay then. You can get whole countries going to war over it and they just call them rebels then. Quite the world we live in, eh? It's just so disgusting. It's so disgusting. And people really cannot see it at all. Little article here on, because I keep talking about eugenics, it's all part of it too, as they try and kill off and get rid of all the undesirable people for the future. It's so Hinduistic. It's amazing, this eugenics. I always see it as Hinduistic because in Hinduism they talk about history and the great cycle of basically space itself is different from the 25,500 year cycle that they talk about in the zodiac. They go into millions of years between ages, as they call it. And they also say in Hinduism that the inferior types cannot come through into a new age. They have to be eradicated. And it's pretty well on par with the same idea of all eugenicists. So there's definitely a connection. Someone either borrowed from it or it's one and the same thing on a much more occultic level. John Holder in Obama's science czar, the guy who was appointed, says forced abortions and mass sterilization are needed to save the planet. And the book he authored in 1977 advocates for extreme totalitarian measures to control the population. The tyrannical fantasies of a madman are merely the opinions of the person now in control of science policy in the United States. It's actually for the whole of the United States, isn't it? Now, these ideas, amongst many other equally horrifying recommendations, were put forth by John Holdren, whom Barack Obama has recently appointed director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, assistant to the President for Science and Technology and co-chair of the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology, and formerly known as the United States Science Czar. In a book Holdren co-authored in 1977, the man now firmly in control of science policy in this country wrote that women could be forced to abort their pregnancies whether they wanted to or not. The population at large could be sterilized by infertility drugs intentionally put into the nation's drinking water or in food. I hope you've got that. I hope that the few that can vaguely get through all your poisoning can actually understand what I'm saying here. Single mothers and teen mothers should have their babies seized from them against their will and given away to other couples to raise. People who contribute to social deterioration that is undesirables can be required by law to exercise reproductive responsibility. In other words, be compelled to have abortions or be sterilized. A transnational planetary regime could assume control of the global economy and also dictate the most intimate details of Americans' lives using an armed international police force. This is the guys, I hope you're really thinking about, these guys are power where they are right now. And they're all across the world right now in all the Western countries appointed on the same boards. All eugenicists with the same agenda, because they all belong to the same big club, you see. And they have real power. And believe you me, they're not going to come out and ask for volunteers. What do you think they sit and do there? When they have think tanks, and how can we sterilize the public and increase the death rate? That's a big part of it too. One of the Rockefeller meetings, it says, well, rapidly increase the death rate. They just don't make wish lists. These are powerful people with powerful money and behind them. They have to introduce it somehow, and they do. And they have been for a long time. It says, impossible, you say that must be an exaggeration or a hoax. No one in their right mind would say such things. And that's what most folks say. Nobody would say that. I wouldn't say that, so they wouldn't say that. Well, I hate to break the news to you, but it's no hoax, no exaggeration. John Holdren really did say those things. And this report contains the proof below. You'll find photographs, scans, and descriptions of pages in the book Eco Science, co-authored in 1977 by John Holdren, and his close colleagues Paul Ehrlich and Anne Ehrlich. The scans and photos are provided and supply conclusive evidence that the words attributed to Holdren are unaltered and accurately transcribed. And it says, make sure to read the new statements issued by the White House and John Holdren's office in response to the controversy raised by this essay. You can see them below following the EcoScience excerpts, or you can jump directly to the statements by clicking into all the links to what John Holdren actually said. This report was originally inspired by this article in Front Page magazine, which covers some of the same information given here, but that article, although it contained many shocking quotes from John Holdren, failed to make much of an impact on public opinion. Why not? Because I discovered when discussing the article with various friends, there was no proof that the quotes were accurate. So most folks, even those opposed to Obama's policies, doubted their veracity because the statement seemed too inflammatory to be true. In the modern era, it seems journalists have lost all credibility and so are presumed to be lying or exaggerating unless solid evidence is offered to back up the claims. Well, this report contains that evidence. Of course, John Holdren wrote these things in the framework of a book he co-authored about what he imagined at the time, which is in the late 70s, it was an apocalyptic crisis facing mankind over population, even though it's been plummeting according to the own census reports. They're importing foreigners like crazy to pay off the debt, they claim. He felt extreme measures would be required to combat extreme population or problem. Whether or not you think this provides him a valid excuse for having descended into totalitarian fantasy is up to you personally. I don't think it's a fantasy at all. I think it's here. So I don't think it's a valid excuse at all, since the crisis he was in a panic over was mostly in his imagination. Totalitarian regimes and unhinged people almost always have what seems internally like a reasonable justification for actions which to the outside world seem incomprehensible. And it's got direct quotes from John Holdren's EcoScience. And compulsory abortions would be legal. Single mothers should have their babies taken away by the government, or they could be forced to have abortions. And on it goes. Mass sterilization of humans through drugs in the water supply is okay as long as it doesn't harm the livestock. They like animals, you see. And actually, guys like, he's actually like beef and all, but pretend to be vegetarian. The government could control women's reproduction by either sterilizing them or implanting mandatory long-term birth control. And the kind of people who cause social deterioration can be compelled to not have children. But that should be all the bankers. Oh, you're not poor then, eh? And it goes on and on and on. I'll put these links up, remember, at cuttingthroughmatrix.com, where you can read them yourself if you've got a mind to, if you're not distracted with the mass of trivia that even the internet loads on you every day. Remember, the big boys are heavily into the internet. They give you your thoughts for the day, all the wows and oohs that you forget the next day. They make sure that you're occupied with nonsense. When you pick your battles, look at the enemy and what weapons they're using. Back with more after this break.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesit, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the total transformation works because I use these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hey folks, we're back, and we'll go to the callers. And it's Steve from Texas. Hanging on the line there, Steve.
Taking my call. Good evening. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Do you have a question and a comment? The comment relates to what you talked about last night, the active denial systems. It's a very good movie that you recommended that if people in the audience haven't seen it, they should see it. It talks about these technologies that are used by the police. The movie is called Blue Thunder. And it's an excellent movie that everyone should look at.
I've seen that one. I've put up on my archives the link to, in fact, Blue Thunder. And that was done back in the 70s, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. And even at the beginning of the movie, it says that these technologies are real and are being currently used by police inside the United States. So they even using that before the movie even begins.
Yeah, that's right. And so another one, too, is Rollerball, as we're seeing, too, on how they eliminate individuality and force you all to be team players, meaning you have no individuality at all. And that was done back then, too. Yeah.
Yes, yes. But it's a very good movie. I recommend everyone see that. You recommended it to me in one of your educational blurs back, I believe, in 2007. Yeah. The question, though, I have, Alan, is I grew up in the church when I was a young man. My uncle was a pastor, and also my great-grandfather was a pastor. But shortly after, in middle school and high school, I kind of pulled away from the church. I had a lot of questions, but I wasn't able to get any answers. And over the summer, I've been rereading the Bible again. And it's one particular book of the Bible in Genesis that kind of, you know, rubbed me the wrong way. I wanted to see if I could get some clarity on it. Something that I'm kind of confused when I'm reading it. But it seems to be pretty straightforward. God sent the angels down to destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, supposedly for homosexuality. But, the angels tell Lot and his family to leave the city at sunrise before the destruction begins. And, of course, Lot's wife turns around and she turns into a pillar of sand and salt, excuse me. And while she's in, and while the family is in the cave, Lot and his two children, get the father drunk, and they become impregnated by the father. Mm-hmm. And now, as I'm reading it, I said it's incest, you know, but how can the God be upset with a city over homosexuality, but he allowed two children to become impregnated by their father shortly thereafter? And that reminded me of Egypt. You know, King Tut, his parents were related. Even the story of Horus or Heru or whatever you choose to call them, with Osiris and Isis, they were closely related. And even talks about what you discussed in your archive. They believe you talked about Prince Charles. His shape was that of similar to Akhenaten. And so, am I connecting dots that should be connected, or am I on the right path?
You're connecting the dots. Yeah, you got them connected. And you remember too that a lot of the Old Testament was altered in the first and second century AD, when the Talmudic rabbis took over and created the Talmud. And the Talmud really is a way of rationalizing and justifying and getting round the laws of God. And so they write things in a completely different fashion. And people have forgotten that. They're not taught their history of it. And then a lot of strange things sexually in the Talmud they're allowed to do. But of course that's pre-Talmudic, so yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all. The one that had incest with his daughters was as bad as the guys he'd left in the city.
Yes.
Yeah. But there's quite a lot of that in the Bible for sure. Yeah.
It's disgusting, haven't it?
It is, yeah. Absolutely. But thanks for calling. And Larry from Louisiana in the ET New Mexico, please call up again on Monday if you can. From Hamish, myself, and Cheer Canada's good night to your God, or your God's go with you.
Gold, ever climbing.